One of the simplest laws of persuasion is the law of obligation, also known as pre-giving or reciprocity. It's also a law that's often used as manipulation. But let's talk about human nature. The key with the law of obligation is understanding how to get anyone to do a favor for you. You know, there's an old Japanese saying that says, nothing is more costly than something given free of charge. You know, obligation has been used as a persuasive technique since the beginning of time. Door-to-door salespeople often offer free brushes, free encyclopedias, free estimates, in hopes of securing a sale. People throw parties in their homes giving away free Tupperware, refreshments, kitchen utensils, or other types of products. We all know how hard it is to attend a friend's party, eat their food, take a free gift, and then go home without buying anything. So what do? We order the cheapest item in the catalog to get rid of the obligation or indebtedness we feel to the host. During the Great War, special soldiers were chosen and given assignment to go into enemy territory. They were then instructed to capture and question enemy soldiers. A certain skilled German soldier was solicited to fulfill another such mission. He had done this on a number of occasions. He negotiated the area between the fronts and caught a soldier off guard eating some lunch alone in his trench. Unaware what had just happened, the startled soldier was easily captured. Not knowing what else to do, the soldier tore off a piece of bread and gave it to his captor. The German expert was so surprised by the friendly gesture that he couldn't follow through with his assignment. Turning away from the soldier, he headed back into neutral territory and on to face the wrath of his superiors. And maybe this has happened to you, because I know it's happened to me many times. You're attempting to buy a car, and you're playing hardball with the sales rep. You're going back and forth, you're starting the negotiation, they're going to their manager, they're coming back. You're ready to walk when he or she says, you know what, I'm thirsty, I'm going to get a soda, would you like one? Sure, you say, I'll take a soda. Oblivious to this technique, he comes back with a soda and a better deal from the manager. It's not the deal you really wanted, but you feel it's the best you're going to get, so you accept it. As you think about it later, it dawns on you that you bought the car because of the subconscious trigger. The moral of the story is never take a drink from a car sales rep before you settled on price. The drink serves as a subconscious obligation trigger. You feel indebted to the car dealer because of his small courtesy, and he knows it. He created the obligation with a 50-cent can of soda. You return the favor and get out of debt by buying a $20,000 to $30,000 car. So let's talk about definitions. The law of obligation, remember reciprocity or pre-giving, states that when others do something for us, we feel a strong need, even a push, to return the favor. Now, when we return the favor, it rids us of the obligation created by the first good deed. In all cultures, the adage, one good turn deserves another, seems to universally be part of social conditioning. And even beyond that, the maxim serves as an ethical code that does not necessarily need to be taught, but nevertheless is understood. For example, when someone smiles or gives a compliment, we feel a great need to return the smile or compliment. Even when these gestures are unsolicited, we feel a sense of urgency to repay the person who has created the mental or psychological debt. In some cases, our need to repay the debt is so overwhelming that we end up dramatically exceeding the original favor. This trigger, created by the salesman's soda or the free gift, is a classic example of this principle. The need to reciprocate resulted in a very lopsided and unfair exchange. People often conscientiously trigger feelings of indebtedness and obligation on others by carrying out an uninvited favor. Even if we don't ask or want or need the gift, invitation, or compliment, we still feel the need to return the favor when we receive it. Merely being indebted, even in the slightest sense of the word, can create enough psychological discomfort and sometimes even public embarrassment that we go to extraordinary lengths to remove this burdensome weight of obligation we feel. This is when we often disproportionately reward the original giver. An interesting story. When my family moved to a new area, we gave a small Christmas gift to our neighbors just to say hello and let them know we moved in. I don't think the gifts cost more than maybe $5, $10 a piece. We were new on the block and wanted everyone to get to know us. After hand-delivering the gifts to our new neighbors, the doorbell rang. There stood one of the neighbors with a large box of truffles in one hand. Now, I emphasize large. This was a large box of truffles. I would estimate probably about $50 worth of chocolates. She said, "Welcome to the neighborhood and happy holidays," and with that, she was off and on her way. She couldn't cope with the sudden debt she felt toward my family. So, to rid herself of the feelings of obligation, she gave back 10 times more than she'd originally received. This is why so many people buy extra holiday presents to have on hand just in case someone delivers a gift they did not count on. This law of obligation also implies when there are favors we wish we could ask, but we know we are not in the position to repay them or perhaps even ask for them in the first place. The psychological and emotional burden created by such circumstances is often great enough that we would rather lose the benefits of the favor by not asking for it at all, then experience the embarrassment and likely rejection that might come from asking. Let me give you an example so you can really understand this. It is a common complaint among women receiving expensive gifts and favors from men that although they are flattered by and like getting the gifts, they feel an uncomfortable sense of obligation to repay their suitors. These women express frustration at the perception held by these men that, because of their favors, the women would or should be more sexually accessible. Studies have shown that the converse is also true. When individuals break the reciprocity rule by showering favors on someone without giving them a chance to repay, there is an equal amount of discomfort. So when somebody gives you something and you don't let them repay you in some way, there is discomfort and an association trigger that might hurt your ability to persuade them. Think about it. So the drive to alleviate feelings of obligation is so powerful that it can make us bend toward people we don't even know. One university professor chose names at random from the white pages and sent these complete strangers his Christmas cards. Here's the interesting thing. Holiday cards addressed to him from people he didn't know and they didn't know him that came pouring back. And they've never even heard of him. And the interesting thing, 20 years later, at one of our three-day events, somebody raised their hand and says, you know, I know who did that. And they're still getting cards today from some of those people that they've never met and they don't even know. The law of obligation can be used to eliminate animosity or suspicion. In one study, researcher Dennis Regan had two individuals try to sell raffle tickets to unsuspecting workers. One individual made a conscientious effort to befriend the workers before attempting to sell any tickets. The other individual made a point of being rude and obnoxious around the workers. Well, on break, the individual who had previously been rude to his prospects bought them drinks before trying to get them to buy tickets. The result of the study showed that the rude individual actually sold twice as many raffle tickets, even though the other had been so much nicer and more likable. On another occasion, a man was stranded on the side of the road because his car ran out of gas. And I know you've experienced something like this. A young man pulled over and identified himself as a friend of the man's daughter. He took the man to get gas and then brought him back to his car. Of course, there was the feeling of being indebted. The man said, hey, if you ever need anything, just ask. 3 weeks later, capitalizing on the offer, the young man asked if he could borrow the man's expensive, and I repeat, expensive car. And you know in the man's head, his best judgment was screaming, are you crazy? You don't know this kid. Does he have a license? Will he bring it back in one piece? Does he have insurance? But the mental pressure to satisfy his obligation to the young man won over his better judgment, and he loaned the young man his car. And I'd like to tell you that it turned out okay, but it didn't. There was damage to the car. Of course, underage, underinsured, and it caused big challenges. You see, the pressure to reciprocate is strong enough that when people don't return the favor, they are viewed with contempt and disgust. People keep score. There's a mental scorecard. Accepting gifts or favors without attempting to return them is universally viewed as selfish, greedy, and heartless. It is often strictly due to this internal and external pressure that people conform to the rule of reciprocity. So what about obligation pre-giving reciprocity in marketing? There was a film developing company that thrived on the law of obligation. They would send a roll of film in the mail along with a letter explaining that the film was a free gift. The letter then outlined how the recipient would send the film into their company to be processed. Even though there were a number of stores that could process the film at a far lower price, most ended up sending it into the original company anyway. This technique worked because their pre-giving incurred a sense of obligation to repay the favor. We often see this method at work when companies give out complimentary calendars, business pens, t-shirts, or even mugs. You also see this on the internet. Free services get you involved, giving you things to see how you love their services creates a sense of pre-giving or obligation, and the rest is history. You also see this when you go to the grocery store and you see those alluring sample tables. Now, for most people, again, some people have been hardened over the years. It doesn't even faze them, but it did at one time. For most people, it's hard to go to the supermarket, see the free samples, take one, and then walk away without at least pretending to be interested in the product. Some individuals have learned to take the sample and walk off without even making eye contact. Then there are those I talked about that take so many samples and they have no more guilt. They seem to no longer feel an obligation to buy or even pretend their interest in the products anymore. Understand, this technique works. You'll see it in furniture stores, audio-video stores. You know, on Saturdays, free pizza, hot dogs, soft drinks, to get you in the stores, to create a sense of obligation, to get you to stay longer, and to buy more. Now, just because you use some type of reciprocity doesn't mean it'll guarantee they're going to do business with you. They might feel more indebted to listen to your presentation, or it might put you on the top of the list. Let me explain. When you give something to somebody, what happens is it puts you on the top of the list. So if you're competing against two or three other companies, and nobody else has given them anything, and your product fulfills their needs, it does put you on the top of the list. It's all about understanding human nature. Understand, this feeling of discomfort is created because the favor threatens our independence. The more indebted we feel, the more motivated we are to eliminate the debt. An interesting report from the Disabled American Veterans Organization revealed that their usual 18% donation response nearly doubled when the mailing included a small, free gift. You ever wondered why so many of those car washes, those fundraisers, were free, pre-giving, and that also equals higher donations? Even in suit stores, salespeople are trained to ask customers if they want to have their suit jackets pressed at no charge while they are shopping. Of course, why would you refuse? While they wait on their jackets, they naturally have to spend more time in the store. What are they doing? Checking out all the merchandise. And when the nice salesperson presses their jacket, the customers feel more indebted to buy. Not guaranteed, but more indebted. Maybe now, maybe in the future, maybe to listen, maybe to look at more items. And when they do finally decide to buy something, it's probably from that salesperson and probably from that store. It might not be instant, but it creates reciprocity. Another study found that survey takers could increase physician response to a long questionnaire if they paid the physicians first. When a $20 check was sent along with the questionnaire, 78% of the physicians filled it out and sent it back. When the $20 check was promised to arrive after the questionnaire was completed and sent in, only 66% followed through. The pre-giving incentive increased the sense of obligation. Now, another interesting result from the study was this. Of the physicians who received the $20 check up front but did not fill out the questionnaire, only 26% cashed the check. Of the physicians receiving the $20 check who did fill out the questionnaire, 95% cashed a check. Now, this demonstrates the law of obligation and how it works. The fact that many physicians who did not fill out the questionnaire also did not cash their checks may be interpreted as a sign of their psychological and emotional discomfort at accepting a favor that they were not going to return. If they cashed the checks, they would have to cope with their indebtedness by complying and filling out the questionnaire. Rather than take on the uncomfortable sense of obligation or indebtedness, it was easier to sacrifice the benefit of gaining the $20 altogether. Another common example of our indebtedness is how we feel obligated to tip when we eat out just because someone brought our food and kept our glass full. We tip our hairdressers and cab drivers and sky caps and tour bus operators. And the list goes on and on. Why do we do that? Well, in a large sense, it's our psychological and emotional need to reciprocate. There's also a function of social validation, but that's another law of persuasion. The act of tipping may be labeled conformity, since doing otherwise in our culture would be considered rude and inconsiderate. As you start to look around, you see this everywhere. Taking a potential client out to dinner or to a golf game. Offering free tire rotation or fluid fill-up between services. Paying unwanted car window washers who perform the task at the stoplight, whether you want them or not. Of course, this happens more and more the first, second, third, and fourth time you see it, and after a while, you become numb and it does not work. carpet cleaners offering to go ahead and clean your couch for free. I was in an airport, and somebody was there trying to give away free books. It was a certain religious group, and they would give it to them. They put it in their hand, they grab it, and the person would look at it and like, oh, try to give it back. He says, no, it's a gift. We welcome donations. Even though they didn't want it, it was a gift. Most people ended up giving a couple of bucks. Even though lots of people were extremely annoyed by the high pressure of gift giving, their sense of obligation to reciprocate won out. I don't recommend doing this type of high pressure situation, but I just want to show you the power of a subconscious trigger. So how can you use this? It's very simple to implement. All you need to do is create a need or obligation to mind the other person, and do it in a way, in a sincere way. Don't expect that if you give them something, they're automatically going to do business with you. Do it from your heart. Be sincere. What it's doing is it's putting you on the top of the list. Give them something of value, something they can use. What can you give away to get you on the top of the list? So as you think of a perfect persuasive situation, include one or more of the following items to help you create a greater sense of obligation. So let's brainstorm together. What is it that you can offer? A service, information, if you're negotiating some type of concession. Yes, concessions get reciprocated. Secrets, favors, gestures, compliments, a smile. Yeah, there's reciprocity in a smile. They're very contagious. Gifts, invitations, your attention, or even your time. Giving someone 30 minutes free of your time for a consultation puts you on the top of the list, assuming, I know you're not supposed to do that, but assuming you've done a great job with your persuasive presentation. And of course, you could probably think of more. Or using a combination of these will create a need to reciprocate in your prospect. As long as your gift is perceived as altruistic. If, however, your pre-giving is read as manipulating, bribing, or tricking, it will understandably not be met with much compliance. Very important you understand that. In fact, let me repeat that. When you give a gift to somebody, or time, or anything we talked about, and they sense that you're manipulating them, or bribing them, or tricking them, it will backfire on you. It has to be perceived as sincere, from your heart, or altruistic. So take caution. The use of obligation will backfire if your prospect sees your actions as a bribe to comply. Feeling tricked, your prospect will not be pressured to comply or reciprocate. When pre-giving is perceived as a bribe or a pressure tactic, it will actually decrease their compliance. Your obligation you create must be perceived as an unselfish act. Researchers have found time and time again, when someone persuades you to change your mind, they will be inclined to do the same if approached by you. On the flip side, if you resist that person's attempt and do not change your mind, then he will likely reciprocate in a similar fashion. Resisting your attempts to change his mind. Consider how this can be used in your advantage if you approach a person you wish to have future dealings with. And say something like, I know, I've got to be thinking what you said, you're right. Now understand this, this is important. If you're in negotiation and persuasion, if you let them persuade you on a few points, or negotiation, you let them win on a few points, they will actually reciprocate in the future, making the doors open to persuade and negotiate in a more powerful manner. And you even see this before negotiations. Some sort of gift. Now take note that offering the gift before and not during the negotiation is of prime importance. Otherwise, your token or gift will come across as bribery. Your gift will almost always be accepted, even if only out of social custom and courtesy. Whether your recipient likes or wants your gift or not, the psychological need to reciprocate will take root, increasing the likelihood that your request will be met in the affirmative. Of course, even when giving the gift before you make your request, be sure your motives come across as a sincere effort to help the recipient rather than yourself. Now here's an interesting aspect of reciprocity and obligation. Secrets. Everybody loves secrets. We all love to be in the know. When you share something personal or private with another person, you create an instant bond and a sense of obligation and trust with them. For example, imagine this. You're in the middle of a negotiation. Well, off the record, I think you should know. Or, I shouldn't be telling you this, but. These statements show that you are confiding in your listener. By offering him inside knowledge, you've created a sense of intimacy and made your listener feel important. Your listener will feel a need and often the desire to reciprocate the information or to share something personal about himself in return. He will begin to open up and share useful information with you. Judges especially, in the courtroom, have to deal with their jurors being influenced by secret information. Attorneys often strategically introduce information that the jury really isn't supposed to hear or evaluate. Now, when this happens, of course, a judge can either declare a mistrial or, what usually happens, tell the jury to ignore the information, the kiss of death. Because in most cases, when a jury is told to ignore the information, all that does is heighten the information's validity in the minds of the jurists. A study was done at the University of Chicago Law School. In their research, a jury was to decide the amount of damages in an injury lawsuit. When the professor made it known that the defendant had been insured against the loss, the damages went up 13%. When the judge told the jury they had to ignore the new information, the amount went up 40%. Wow. Be careful not to plead and beg for your prospects to open up. Let them know you truly care and have a desire to know out of genuine concern, not curiosity. Pleading quickly becomes a red flag that shows your prospects you just want to know the juicy details rather than just having a real desire to help them. As with the other laws of persuasion, be sincere by showing you really care and truly have their best interests at heart. Now, a word of caution. This law can backfire on you, even though it's very simple to understand. I don't want you to use it in the wrong way. I don't want you to manipulate people. That's not what I want in the world of persuasion. It can be used for the wrong reasons. Manipulation is the flip side of obligation. If you use obligation to manipulate, I guarantee you will lose your ability to persuade. People will catch you on this, quickly declining any gifts you offer, or refusing to be around you, or maybe not even taking the gift. Your gifts will be perceived as setups. People will instinctively know that it's only a matter of time before you come back asking for a favor to be reciprocated. And when you give away something for free, make sure it's something of value, not something you don't want, that you found in the garage, or you don't need anymore, a product that's out of date. No, make sure it has value to them. Make sure it's targeted to them, something they would want, need, like, or enjoy. And make sure you use this as part of your full persuasive process. Can you use specialty advertising? When I mentioned hats or pens or refrigerator magnets. What can you give away? Think about it. What can you give away from your heart that has value that puts you on the top of the list? Now, of course, if you use it the wrong way, sometimes it will work. For example, timeshares. They have a gift that gets you there, and you know that's why you're going, but you're going to reciprocate with your time. There's a young girl at the airport that says she's deaf. She could be. That gives you a sticker with a flag on it or puts it on your shirt. And you touch. That's nice. And it would be inconsiderate to reject her sweet offer, which is a couple bucks. You tell her thank you. She smiles and you donate something to her school or charity, whatever it is. Since you feel obligated because of the sticker, it would be tough to reject her because of the mental obligation. Giving out football tickets would be in the same category. So I want you to think about in your business and your service, what is it that has value that you can give away that can create reciprocity that can put you on top of the list?